We are so happy to be able to share God's word with you today. Thankful for those young men the Lord has given us. On Wednesday night, I mentioned two verses that I had been impressed with when we were having our family worship. And they just stayed on my mind. And so I felt that God added to them and gave me what He wants to share today. And the first one was 1 Samuel 23. And it's in the story about David, who was running from his father-in-law and also the king. He was running from Saul because Saul was jealous of him and wanted to kill him. Can you imagine your father-in-law wanting to do that? But that's where David was, and he ran all the time, and he was out in the wilderness, holed up in the mountain fortresses. I've been reading a book that Beverly loaned me about some of these places, and it's interesting to read about the places where David was hiding. It wasn't an easy life. He was really in a time of testing in his life. And he had a lot of men with him, but when you read about the 600 men that he had, it was this kind of guy. Everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented. So he had a group of men that weren't the best that he was trying to train as an army. But he had, the verse I want to direct us to is verse 16 in 1 Samuel 23. He had this one thing that the Lord had given to him. Saul's son, Jonathan, was David's very best friend. That's quite a drama when you think about it that went on here. And while Saul was out there in the wilderness, while David was out there in the wilderness and Saul was out there hunting him, Saul's own son, Jonathan, looked up his friend David. And it took him a while to find him, but he found him out there in the woods. And he went to him in his distress and in his trial. Jonathan went to David. Verse 16, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And the Lord began to add to this and gave me a picture of what He wants us to be to each other. And God saved every one of us, and it took Jesus, only Jesus, to save you. I didn't save you, and Brother Joseph didn't save Brother Earl, and Dan didn't save Randy, and Randy didn't save anybody. I mean, that we didn't save one another. But once the Lord saves us, He didn't intend for us to really have to go it alone. Now, I'm going to balance it out in the latter part of the message and show you that if you happen to be alone, you'll never really be alone because God's with you. But really, God made a plan that when He saves you and He saves someone else and He works with their heart and He works in your heart, He really wants the two of us or the three of us or the 100 of us, however, He wants us to be a help and a blessing to each other. Just like David and Jonathan. Just like David was in trial here in a really hard place. Out in the wilderness. Out in the strongholds, the cliffs, the caves, and the woods. David was out there and Jonathan came to him in that place. And he strengthened his hand in God. He wasn't one that was in debt or discontented. He was a strength to David. Later on, David got into place, and this was after Jonathan was dead. But after Jonathan was dead, David got into place, And that's another scripture that I read Wednesday night. He got in a place that the enemy came while he and his men were fighting in a battle. The enemy came and took all of their women and children away and burned their home with fire. When they got back, all these discontents that David was with said, "We're going to stone you because you've put our children and our women at risk." And it said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's going to be a time in our life sometimes when we don't have anybody. But really, the Lord's real plan was there to be someone there beside you to strengthen you and to help you. He didn't want us to go it alone. He really wanted his children to be as a family, a brotherhood. And he talks about it different times in the New Testament. I'm going to read some in here. In the New Testament, he wants there to be a strong brotherhood of believers, a church. That's what he died for. He shed his blood, not just for you and then you and then you, and all of us are these little things all by ourselves and we don't have any interaction with each other, but he really wanted us to be a unit. All of us connected to him, but all of us connected to each other. And this is the reason, is because he wants us to strengthen one another. Now, whenever Peter, before Jesus was crucified, he told Peter in Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Jesus warned Peter, Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to have you. He wants to just sift you like somebody takes wheat and just throws it out. He said, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, he wanted Peter to be faithful. And to, if he did fall, and he said, "Peter, you are going to deny me." Peter said, "No, Lord, I will never deny you. I'll die for you." He didn't know his own weakness. But his own weakness really did put him in the place where he denied the Lord. He followed him too far away, and he got in trouble and cursed and swore and said he did not know his Jesus. That's what happened to Peter after Jesus told him this. But he said, "Peter, when you've been converted, I'm going to make a great change in you. I'm praying for you that you don't get so discouraged that you just quit completely, because I want you to come back. And when you're converted, this is what I want you to do. Strengthen your brethren." See, that was the whole idea of preaching the gospel and God making a family and a church, is that there would be a group. There would be several, not just one person out here, but there would be somebody else to strengthen your hand in God. And when we get saved and we begin living for God, remember, it's not just me and God, although that's the most important thing, is that I keep my hold on God. But the next thing after that is to live a life to strengthen other people's hand in God. And it's important. We need to realize the importance that we have of each other. Now, the same Peter, after Jesus had died and resurrected, he came to Peter in John chapter 21. And he said to him three times, "Peter," or "Simon," he called him Simon, "do you love me?" And the first time, Peter is like, "You know, yes, Lord, you know I love you." And what did Jesus say to him? "Feed my lambs." I believe that's the first thing that he said. "Feed my lambs." What is that? Why is he telling Peter, "Feed my lambs"? "Peter, I want you to take care of the ones that are young and tender, like you once were. That's how you love me." Now, see, this is really important. Sometimes we say, "Well, I love God. It's people that I have a problem with." Well, this is how we really love Jesus, is that we have a heart for those that are coming behind us, little ones. And then he said, to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. This is a little harder now. It's not just the little ones. Feed those sheep. Feed those ones that are older. That's kind of how I take it. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This is how we love the Lord, is by having a heart to strengthen and feed his children, his flock. This was what he told Peter that he wanted him to do. We find in the books that Peter wrote, 1 and 2 Peter, and also Peter was instrumental in writing the book of Mark. He's the one that instructed John Mark, the writer of the book of Mark. His influence in writing that book was Peter. So really, he's kind of the author, or right behind the author, of three books. You read in 1 and 2 Peter, what do you read? You read constantly him instructing and encouraging the saints who are going through affliction, who are going through trial. That's what the books of 1 and 2 Peter are all about. They're all about strengthening and feeding the souls of the saints. He took his job seriously, didn't he? Well, I would like to read some other scriptures that the Lord brought to my mind. Pray for me that the Lord will bring them back to my mind, that I can get them. It's important to us that we meet together and that we don't just quit. I know that in this little place here, there are some times that we cannot all meet together. Let's look in Hebrews. There have been times in the history of this congregation that they only met once a month. Back when Beverly's father was coming to preach to the few here. And then there have been times that we've not been able to meet. I remember after we came here, there was a time that we weren't able to meet there for quite some weeks because of, I think it was my particular sickness at that time. But he said in Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin at 19. This is really, really good because it tells how that we come draw near to God. It's a new and a living way. It's not, we're not drawing near one place. He said, you're not coming near to a mountain that's thundering, but you're coming to God's house or his presence. He said, let us draw near by, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And here's what I feel, that the enemy really, really attacks us to try to get us to be discouraged about meeting together. And I felt it here in our congregation because we have different ones that are sick. We have different time schedules and all. But I want us to put forth our best effort because he said, you do this more as you see the day approaching. What's he talking about? As we see the end approaching, we need to remember it's important to meet together and encourage one another. And he said, exhort one another. What does exhort mean? Exhort, the word means to call near. So, What we want to do when we get together is to call each other near. Each of us draw closer to each other and call each other nearer to God. Do what will strengthen the other person's hand in God. That means when I come to service, I need to have a prayer in my heart. Lord, fill up my vessel so that I'll have something to spill over on somebody else. Everybody has something in their vessel. What you have is going to spill out. When something jars you, what you've got inside is going to spill out. How do we jar? How do we spill today? When we meet the trials of life or when we meet with one another, what spills out of our life? Some people, it's gossip and it's discontent and it's griping. But let it be in us. Lord, help me that I'll have something to pour out and refresh and strengthen the souls of others. I think about a prayer that I have prayed after reading this scripture in Isaiah 50, I believe it is. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Strengthen people's hand in God. The Lord wakeneth, it says, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. There's a song that I believe I taught the children years ago. Lord, maybe I didn't. Well, anyway, there's a song that says, Lord, speak to me that I may speak. When the Lord speaks to us, carry that in your heart. Meditate on it. Let it be something rich inside of you. And think about, Lord, maybe there's someone that I can speak this word of encouragement to along my way today. Or maybe Wednesday when I come to service. Or even Sunday morning. Lord, let me come with some of your word. You say, well, that's the preacher's job. No, he said in Hebrews 10, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. It's not just the preacher's job. This isn't a spectator sport. We don't just come and sit and think, now feed me, now give to me. But every one of us is important. Every one of you have something that you can share or add that is unique to you. No one else can say what you can say. The Lord deals with you in a very special way. I have received help from just a few words of some of you that speak up sometimes and say, well, God just showed me this. And you know what? It's exactly what I need. It strengthens my hand in God. What you have to say and what you have to share is very important. And the reason why I know it's important is because I see the battle that is against everyone to hinder them from contributing and from sharing. You ever notice the battles you have trying to get to service or trying to gather with someone else? You have a real battle. And it's because the Satan knows that coming together and encouraging one another and strengthening one another is a very important thing. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned so that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Paul, when he was in prison, I read a spot here in the New Testament I just want to share with you. He was in prison and he was needy of encouragement. Give me just a minute so I can find what I'm looking for here. He was needing encouragement in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I read through the lines and noticed the loneliness of Paul in his expressing here, I want you to come and I want you to see me. I want you to come and visit me. I'm in prison. And it was getting winter time, and he said, I need you to bring the cloak or the coat. I'm reading through there and thinking, you know, he said, do your diligence to come before winter. Verse 21. Bring the coat that I left. He was needing some things and he was asking them to bring them. He also asked to bring Mark, the young man that had forsaken him before, who'd had a contention with Barnabas about. Now he's saying, bring Mark with you because he's profitable unto me. He talked about some that had forsaken him. He talked about Demas. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He talked about the others who had gone different places. Then in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, because he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. You see kind of the lonely strain in Paul here? He was saying, I was being attacked. I was being withstood. And I needed somebody to stand with me, and nobody stood with me. But listen to what he said. I pray God. He said, all men forsook me. You ever feel forsaken by the family of God? You ever feel like, well, they don't care a lick about me. Nobody called. Nobody came. He said here, all men forsook me. Now, this is Paul. But he didn't charge the people of God. He didn't say, you know, I thought they were what they profess a big profession, and I thought that they were saints. But he said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He just forgave him, and he asked God to forgive him. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He had a lonely time here where he felt forsaken. And I think every one of us is going to have times like that. There's another place that I read that he asked for prayer. Let's see. Well, I may not be able to find it. Yes. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of all the saints, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. He was asking for prayer. Another time he asked for prayer was in Ephesians 6. He said in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he was asking for prayer. Another time he said, brethren, pray for us. So that is one way that we can strengthen one another. If we can't be with one another, I beg you, pray for me. Pray for Dan. And then let's mention everyone in prayer. I remember I was in a congregation. It was in the congregation in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One time I was there for their Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I was very moved by their service because it went like this. They each had some prayer requests, not everyone, but there were a lot of prayer requests. And they got down to pray, and one person prayed, and they mentioned most of the requests. And you know, I was kind of used to, okay, everybody get up now. One person prayed and covered the request. But no, somebody else began to pray. And they prayed for everybody again. And somebody else began to pray. And they prayed for everybody again. And it was like, I just felt, and they mentioned my request. I had some requests there. And this is what I came away with thinking. If I ever want prayer, I know who to call. These people really pray for you. You got really covered with prayer. 3 and 4 and 5 people prayed for you. I came away with thinking, you know, that's a challenge to me. I want to be like that. When somebody says, pray for me, Lord, help me to bear that burden. Look at the first part of chapter 15 of Romans. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And we do that by putting up with one another's weakness and by looking over, covering with love the weaknesses of one another. But we also do it by bearing people up in prayer to the Lord. When somebody says, pray for me, really pray for them. Not just mention them. But here's what the Lord's challenged me to. Strengthen their hand in God. Think about maybe what they're going through. Think about it and begin pray. Pray some details into your prayer. Pray that the Lord will encourage them, that they wouldn't be discouraged by their affliction. Pray that the Lord will show them a closer walk with Him. You say, well, I'm not anything. How can I know if somebody needs a closer walk? We all need a closer walk with Him. Pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint that person, will fill that person. Pray that the devil will be rebuked who's attacking them. Pray that they will find answers to their problems. Pray that the people that they're dealing with will come to know Jesus Christ. Just pray details all around the burdens that you know somebody's going through. That strengthens them. Paul needed it. He said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for that I may preach the word. I hope this morning, and I think it does happen, I hope that you pray before we come here. Pray for the word of God, that it might meet the needs, that I might be able to preach not just myself, but with utterance. That means the Holy Spirit speaking. So that somebody come in the door, they're going to think I know their mother. Because I'm talking about the things in their life. That's not me. That's not the preacher. That's the Holy Spirit. That happened one time to a sister who came years ago. She came from off the street. Somebody had handed her a tract. And she came in and she said, she sat back there and she said, oh Lord, that preacher's been talking to my mother. And it so gripped her heart because she felt like God knew everything she'd been doing. That was the Holy Spirit. Pray that the minister who preaches to you will be filled with the Spirit. Pray that the enemy will not be able to slip in words that are of no profit. Did you know the enemy attacks the preacher? Tries to get us to say things that will... One statement can injure and destroy a whole message of good. One misstatement can make your mind just start going like this and you miss everything else because you're saying, why'd she say that? What does that mean? Lord, help us that... Pray for the word, that it will keep on focus, that we will be able to preach the very mind and heart of God. What's the purpose of coming if we don't hear from heaven? It's God through working through each of us that we need. That's what strengthens you in God. If I can get something from God, and you can get something from God, and we share that, that strengthens one another in God. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let's read another one along that line. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I think there's another one like that Well, let's leave that. He said then, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. One way that we do that is to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. He said, whether one member of the body suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's how we can bear one another's burdens. Lord, help me to understand the suffering. One time he said, remember those. Let's read that one. Hebrews chapter 13. Remember those who are in bonds as though bound with them. Now that's a challenge. This is verse 3. Hebrews 13 and 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Lord, you've put me in just like a hand is a part of the same body as the foot. The hand and the foot may think that they're of no value to each other, but you are. You are. The foot can't say, well, I don't need the hand. That foot does need the hand. Dan was scratching his foot last night with his hand. I mean, all parts of our body are interdependent, and we are too. He's saying this. Remember, you're part of the body. If somebody is suffering, if somebody is bound, you remember that person as though you are the one that's sick and are bound. That's really the love that he wanted us to have for one another. Doesn't it challenge you? It really challenges me. Whenever somebody says, pray for so-and-so, make it, and I tried to do this, make it a discipline in my own mind. Lord, how are they really feeling? What are they really going through? And remember when you're going through something. Remember this, there's others that are going through suffering like me. One of the things that Satan always tries to do is to make us feel isolated or to get us isolated so that we feel like there is nobody that understands me. Just remember that scripture. Let's get it. Maybe you can mark it. 1 Peter 5. And 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. When you're being tempted, just remember this. He's tempting my brethren too. There's other people that are going through bad stuff too. There are other people who are suffering. Lord, help me and help those that are. Whenever you pray like that, whenever our prayers quit just focusing on me and they begin, Lord, help me, but Lord, I remember so-and-so is in trouble. Lord, help them. You know what that does? It does something for you. It draws you closer to your brethren. I've noticed this. I've noticed that when somebody lets me know, I'm praying for you. And we've had some people that have taken our sickness and our burden so personally, and they send us cards all the time. Especially this one couple, they'll call. And you know what it does? It makes me feel closer to that person. It's challenged me because there have been times that I can see I have fallen so short here. That maybe I got so consumed in our own trials, and some of you were suffering right along beside, and I forgot, or I didn't take the time to say, what can I do here? Well, let's do this. And I'm sorry for that. This message is to me too. I'm preaching at myself. I see something that God says to us today. Strengthen one another in God. Strengthen your brother's hand in God. Let's look at some others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 11, let's begin here. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. he's saying here, I'm not telling you you're not doing this, but I want you to keep on doing this. You're doing this. You're edifying one another. You're comforting one another. But keep on doing that. And he said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. What is he saying here? To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Know them. Know the ministers. Know those who are laboring. Know their burdens. Know their needs. Don't just live distant from them. But get to know those that are laboring. I believe that's what he's saying here. Have them in for dinner. Talk to them. They're people too. Know them and esteem them very highly. Know what kind of life they live. Paul said one time, he said, brethren, you've fully known my doctrine and my manner of life. There's an interconnection here. The Lord wants there to be between those who minister and those who are ministered to. Because it may change around someday. And you may be ministering, and the other one may be on the ministered to hand. He said, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. I heard a message about a brother who, a woman in his congregation, charged him falsely about a matter. And he was so hurt by it, and he was really tempted to go around to all the people that he knew she had talked to and clear himself. But he said the Lord was, how was it, honey? We heard this. The Lord said, no, just wait. They're not ready. They're not ready for that. Just wait. And so he waited and he waited, and it took him, he bore, instead of returning evil for evil, instead of spreading around that she was something that shouldn't ought to be, he waited. And how was it that it turned out? After a while, she came and said, I see what I've done. I see what I've done, and I'm so wrong, and I'm so sorry. And she went around and cleared his name. Everything turned out so good. I believe God has. He has a better way of dealing. When I think about how God dealt with faults in Revelation, when he spoke to the 12 churches, whenever he had, I think there were, not 12 churches, I'm sorry, 7 churches. He spoke to 7 churches, 7 congregations, and I think there were 3 of them that he commended. I believe that's what it was. Philadelphia. Oh, I used to know that pretty good. I know he commended the church at Philadelphia. He had admonition for the church at Ephesus. The church at Smyrna, he commended them. The church at Pergamos, he had some things to say to them of admonition. The church at Thyatira, he admonished them. So I think maybe it was just two of the churches he really commended. But I noticed that whenever he was giving the admonition and the reproof, he always started out with something that he could commend. And then he added the reproof. He always gave an answer with his reproof then. I know that Dan has said many times to the guys that he works with, don't come to me with a problem unless you have a solution to give me with it. There's some wisdom in that, in dealing with one another. Just like the man who said he wanted to go and clear himself, but the Lord said, wait. There's times when we need to just wait, because the Lord not only has a We not only need to have a problem to present, but we need to have an answer. Sometimes it takes longer for the Lord to show us what the answer is. So just wait. Just wait on the Lord until He has given you an ear to hear the word that's in season. And then maybe we can go to the person, state what the problem is, but have an answer, have a solution. You understand what I'm saying here? Strengthen one another in God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And also, along with that, Colossians chapter 3. They both say about the same thing, and just want to catch both of them here. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Did you know that our practice of coming together and singing spiritual songs, as opposed to, we don't come and sing jingle bells, right? We come and we sing spiritual songs. The reason why we do that is because this is our way of strengthening, not only praising the Lord, but as we praise the Lord, we're strengthening one another. In Colossians 3, it says in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." As I sing with grace in my heart to the Lord, maybe the Lord has given me a song through the week. Have you ever noticed this happen? You come with a song on your heart already. You come, the Lord has given you that song in a trial. It's rang over and over in your heart all week, or all day maybe. And you come and you say, "This song is on my heart. Let's sing this song." Have you ever noticed how the Lord blesses that song? It is a strength and a help to others. This is one of the ways that we strengthen one another. But if we would come and nobody puts their heart into the singing, and there is just dead as it can be, it's almost like a weight instead of an uplift. But when we come and your heart is filled with God's word and it overflows in song and praise, it strengthens and admonishes. It teaches, it helps, it edifies everyone else. I believe there's one in Romans again. I've been in Romans, but I want to go back to Romans chapter 16. "Of the church which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer." Now that word means an aid. This woman had been Paul's aid. "She hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks." You see the strong connection that Paul had with other. He wasn't a rogue. I think about that today. That word came to my mind. The Lord didn't come and establish a church and then there be rogue members who were just kind of off doing their own thing. He wanted the workers, the gospel ministers, those who were lay members, he wanted everyone to be in it together, to help one another, aid one another, strengthen one another, work together. That's what he presents here. These people have laid down their own lives for me. Jesus, I think there's a verse that says, Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It comes into our own everyday lives where I give up my time for you. I know that you have need. I come and help you, or you come and help me. We give our lives to each other. He said they've laid down their own necks for my life. And he goes on and he talks about others. Another place he talked about people who were true yoke fellows. I like that one. They were in the same discipline as he. They were in the yoke together serving the Lord. Pulling together. True yoke fellow. Trying to remember some of these that the Lord has given me. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 14. And in this chapter, he's talking about the special grace of giving to someone in need. He said it's a grace. There's graces that I want you to abound in, and he said I want you to abound in this grace of being able to supply a need when somebody has a need. And in verse 14 he said, but by an equality. That's what he wanted there to be in the body of Christ, an equality. And this is the way he meant it to be. Not that everybody was all supplied at the same time. Not that we had a common pool and everybody put everything into it, and then somebody said, well, this one gets that and this one gets that. That's not how it is here. But he said that now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. That's what God meant for His economy to work. It's not socialism, but it is an equality where when I follow God and I follow His Spirit and I keep an ear and an eye open for your needs, the Lord can lead me to share a word or an item or financial or whatever to help you at your time of need. But at the same time, you're doing the same thing, opening your ear and your heart to the Lord, and it's going to turn around after a while, and I'm going to be in need, and you're going to supply for my need. If we all really follow the Lord and have a heart to strengthen one another, this is the way it'll work, and I've seen it work like this. I've seen it work where I've been down and had the need, and somebody supplied my need. And then I've seen other times where I realized they were down and had the need, and I had what they needed at that time. And we just can constantly overlap one another. Well, He wants us to do that. Let's think about the different ways now that we've read about. Pray for one another. Speak a word of encouragement and help to one another. As Jonathan's example, go to that person that's in need. I think in one place he said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the afflictions, and the widows and the fatherless in their afflictions. Excuse me. I think there's one more that I had in mind. Romans 12. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He's saying here, live a life that will generate peace. Strengthen one another by being at peace, having a mind of peace toward each other. And that way we can encourage one another. One more, and it's in Isaiah 35. Kind of put this along with the words that we say to one another. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, for the Lord, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. When we have been in trial, Paul said, I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about how that we've been in tribulation and in sorrow, and God has comforted us so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any sorrow by the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted in God. When we're in tribulation and God has given us comfort, remember, somebody down the road is going to need just what we've been comforted in and been strengthened with. Our trials are not just for us, but they're for others. And there's a little poem I want to close with that I thought about here. It says, if you have gone a little way ahead of me, call back. 'Twill cheer my heart and help my feet along the stony track. And if, perchance, faith's light is dim, because the oil is low, your call will guide my lagging course as wearily I go. Call back and tell me that he went with you into the storm. Call back and say he kept you when the forest's roots were torn. That when the heavens thunder and the earthquake shook the hill, he bore you up and held you where the air was very still. Oh, friend, call back and tell me, for I cannot see your face. They say it glows with triumph and your feet bound in the race. But there are mists between us and my spirit eyes are dim. And I cannot see the glory, though I long for word of him. But if you'll say he heard you when your prayer was but a cry, and if you'll say he saw you through the night's sin-darkened sky, if you've gone a little way ahead, oh friend, call back. 'Twill cheer my heart and help my feet along the stony track. Let's be mindful of each other who are going through all kinds of storms. And when you see that somebody's in a wilderness, in the wood, going through the storm, let's go to one another and strengthen our hands in God.